Isabella Christie of Prescow. Mrs. Christie, were you born in Aroostook County?
Yes, I was. I was born in the town of Ashland.
How long has your family lived in Aroostook?
My grandfather came from Chinamain to Ashland in 1839. He enlisted as a private in the Aroostook War, and when the Webster-Ashburton Treaty was signed, he decided he'd come up anyway, so he went back and got his family and came up to Masadas, and from there he made a raft and floated down the river, landed in Ashland.
That's very interesting. Now, was Aroostook County as such at that time?
Well, if it wasn't at that time, it was very shortly after, but there was a part of Penobscot and a part of Skagit, and yes, part of Washington County too was contributed to the Aroostook County of today.
Mm-hmm. It became Aroostook County. Well, tell us a little about your grandfather's family. How large a family was it? Tell us about their life, if you have information on that, their church affiliations, and so forth.
My grandfather had a family of four daughters and six sons, but four of the sons didn't marry, and one of the others had one daughter. My father had two sons and two daughters.
One of your brothers was in the Civil War, was he not?
One of my uncles was
one
in
of
the
your
Civil
uncles,
War. Henry, Uncle Henry Kallock was a captain in the Civil War, and Uncle Alonzo Kallock was also in the Civil War. I think he was a sergeant.
Now, at the time this family were living in Ashland, how settled was the town of Ashland? Was there a church, schools, do you know?
When my grandfather came, there were only two other families there.
I see.
So, you see, there was no organized activity of any kind. But my grandfather was a staunch Baptist, and he wanted to see a Baptist church in Ashland, so my uncle, who was in the Civil War, died and left insurance. And with that insurance, grandfather built a church. I can remember that church. It was rather a good-looking church. It's somewhat like some that you'd see in Massachusetts
yes,
now.
The old
with a steeple and with the divided pews. There was a partition down the middle. And
now, where was that where the town of Ashland is today, anywhere
that
near
was. That was within a stone's throw of where my grandfather settled.
I see.
It was on his own property at the time.
I see. Excuse me.
I want to tell you right now, before I forget it, a little episode which amused me, rather. My father used to tell about when they lived there on the farm, and he was just a little boy. His older sister took him out for a walk in the woods, because the woods came right up to their home. And he saw an animal there, and he thought it was a neighbor's dog. There were a few other settlers there by that time. He thought it was a neighbor's dog, and he reached out to pat him, and his sister grabbed him by the hand and ran for the house as fast as she could. It was a wolf.
My soul.
So you see that they were pretty close to nature.
Yes, really frontier.
Yes.
I had thought of wolves even being in this area, so I'm learning too. Now, you lived and went to school in Ashland.
I lived there until I was 8 years old. And then my father and mother, and we four, there were four of us in the family, we four children, moved to Castle Hill.
I see.
And we lived there until 1913, when we moved to Presque Isle, and family, what there is left, have been here ever since.
Yes. Now, then you went most of your schooling in Castle Hill or Presque Isle, perhaps.
Well, Presque Isle, because I went to the country school in Castle Hill, and when I was ready for high school and wanted to go, it seemed hard for me to do it, because my father had very little money, and I said, well, I'm going anyway. So we amongst us found a place for me to room, and I roomed and boarded myself and went to high school, from which I graduated in 1906. That's pretty nearly telling my age, isn't it?
Yes, but we won't say a word about that. Did you
then
teach?
after graduating from high school, I taught for 5 years. And in the summertime, I would attend summer terms of the normal school it was then. So I had some normal school training, not too much. So I had to teach in country schools, and the most I ever received for teaching was $10 a week. I started at $6. Yes.
And went to 10.
And went to 10 finally. When I was receiving $10, I was teaching everything from the primer to freshman algebra, Latin, and rhetoric. Because there was one school where I had to teach those subjects. My cousin's husband was the superintendent, and he had a grand idea of what the children in the schools ought to study. In that school where my cousin was superintendent, he had three children. The daughter was the youngest of the family, and she was only 7 or 8 years old, I think. She was a very fine pupil as long as she was alone, but when the two boys came in, it changed the picture, and there was a lot of fooling, and I had to have sessions with those boys every little while to straighten them out. They'd promise everything wonderful, but then they'd get back to the mischief again.
You had to be quite a disciplinarian if you had teach that many subjects.
Yes.
As well as try to find the time in the day.
That's right.
Must have been a
problem. And that's the reason I decided not to teach anymore. I thought I'd do something that didn't require quite so much responsibility, really.
Yes.
Because in other schools I had a problem with discipline. Mm-hmm. I hated it, and I wanted a perfect deportment, and the two were pretty hard to achieve.
Yes, indeed. Those were often in those country schools, and at the time you were teaching, so I've heard, the pupils would be almost as old as the teacher.
Yes, I've had some who were.
And so there.
And I had one who wanted to see me home nights if there were a social or something like that. He wanted to walk me home.
Pupil-teacher relationship, I guess, to the end. Now, when you taught, it was in this same area, the area of Presque Isle.
Yes, the Aroostook area. It was not entirely in Presque Isle. As I taught in Garfield, that's where I got $10 a week. That was the most I ever got. Garfield and Mapleton and Castle Hill, where I lived, I taught in my home district 2 terms. Oh, yes, and Wade, all these little towns around in this part of Aroostook.
In the country schools where they had 7 grades or 8 grades
or 8 or 9.
Yes.
You see, in Garfield I had 10 because I had nine grades in first year high.
Yes, my goodness. Sounds impossible.
Periods are short, you can guess.
Yes, but you had to keep your eye on the rest of the school at the same time, didn't
That's
you?
Right.
Now, after that, when you decide no longer to teach Senator Christie, you went into the business world, did you not?
Yes, I went to Beale School of Shorthand in Bangor and took a course in shorthand and typing. And business arithmetic. She didn't have a bookkeeping course, but I learned bookkeeping the hard way by working it out myself in an office, because I came immediately from Beale's to work in a potato office where I worked for 17 years.
That's a long time.
You see, I was an old maid when I got married.
There are no old maids. There are career women.
Well,
then did you continue? Sometimes. I'm sure you continued to the interest in your husband's business, even though you were married. Did you not?
Oh yes, yes, definitely. I worked for a little while in my husband's office, and then I decided to go home and take care of my house. I had a 12-room house then.
Yes.
So I had quite a bit to take care of, and that was hard. Those were hard times in the potato business, and didn't have too much money.
Well,
we lived in a big house, but there was a big mortgage on it, too.
this, then you, when was your first, when did you first go into politics?
Well, I began thinking about it in 1952 and ran for the House of Representatives, main House of Representatives, and was elected because I had no opposition. But the first thing I did when I went down there was to introduce a bill to prohibit liquor advertising. And that disturbed one of our townsmen quite seriously. So he decided he'd run against me the next time. But he didn't win. His mother said if he hadn't been ill, he would have, but he was ill for a little while. And so I don't know whether he would have or not, but at least that he didn't. So I went down for the second term and two more terms after that. First I had a Democrat opposing me. Yes, two terms I had a Democrat opposing me. And of course the Democrats were in the minority in those days, much more so than they are now. And I didn't have any trouble getting elected that, those two. In fact, I was four terms in the House and two in the Senate. I wasn't anxious to go into the Senate. In fact, it wasn't my idea at all to go into the Senate. But there was a young man here in town whom people hoped to send to the legislature. They wanted him to go to the House. So they said, why don't you run for the Senate and let him run for the House? Finally, I decided I would. I didn't expect to be elected, but I was. And so I served two terms in the Senate. During the my first term in the Senate, the people, well, some of the leaders here in the city, asked me if I wouldn't introduce a bill to get a vocational institute for Presque Isle. And so I introduced the bill, and I asked for $250,000. That wasn't enough to put the school into operation. So that was in 61. In 1963, I introduced another bill to get enough money to start it going. And in the fall of 1963, the school went into operation with 44 students.
I remember.
And in 1970, there were over 300 students.
It's a marvelous school, and it's a real credit to
the
your
growth
work.
Yes. Growth is marvelous.
Yes,
really.
It is. Yes, it is. And it's a real credit to your persistence.
I'll have to say this. One day the telephone rang, and when I answered, Mr. Sylvester, who was then the director of the school, asked me if, or told me, that they were going to build a new building, they were going to name it for me. Well, I was so thrilled, I cried.
Well, of course.
But I was very much pleased that they wanted to do that, that they thought of doing it, because I had introduced the bill that got Werdine Hall out of State College. Nobody said anything about my
doing that,
having my name on that. Well, I didn't expect to, and I didn't expect this either. But I was very pleased, of course.
And you were present at the dedication, were you not?
Yes.
That building.
I was.
And Stoke. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's a real asset to our town, and we're, I know they have a great many good students because we get them.
Yes, I've been very much pleased. And I was thrilled when I attended the graduation, the commencement exercises last year. There was, I've forgotten how many students there were, but there was a large graduating class.
Yes, in all the branches there was a lot. I don't know how many either, but I know they have quite a large student body. Well, Mrs. Christie, you've been active in so many things, and you've traveled extensively in your life. You've been very active in the Women's Christian Temperance Union, I know. And can't you give us some high points of that in your travels?
Well, I was president of the Maine WCTU for 20 years. In the WCTU, they do that sort of thing. They wouldn't in any other organization, I guess, but they run forever and ever. It seems my predecessor was 25 years in office, and the one preceding her was 35 years in office. So you see, they do that. So when I became president, I began going to national conventions. So I went to Chicago, I guess, for the first one. I went to one in Detroit, one in Philadelphia, one in Minneapolis, one in San Francisco, and one in, I went to Lexington, Kentucky for one, and another one in, Atlanta. And there were others, I can't think of them all just now, but I had a very, and later on, well, that was after I was through as president, though. I went with some friends to Texas and then to Mexico City. That was a very enjoyable trip. Of course, I went to Europe. I went to Europe in 1950. I landed in Ireland, and at Cork in Ireland, and went up through the British Isles. I didn't see Wales, but I saw the other three countries of the British Isles. Went across the English Channel to Paris and then to Switzerland. I visited Rome and of course Versailles.
Yes.
And I was very much interested in visiting the Louvre, that wonderful art gallery. I was amused at two friends who were with me. They were more intent on shopping in Paris than they were visiting the Louvre. I
you
had
can
little
shop
time anyway. Yes, you can.
Now, that's very interesting, and you certainly have seen a great deal of the world. Now, of course, you remember many things about the Depression years here in the county. Can you think of any high points that you would like to tell about during of the Depression years, the bank holiday, and the really dark moments in our...
Well, it's hard for me to do that. I remember in my own family, my husband lost everything. Everything he had claimed to was mortgaged to the limit. We had this big house over here on Church and Second. He had the big farm out here, the Hayden Farm was called, and a farm out on the Caribou Road, one down in Patton, one up to Wade. He had farms all over the place, but they were all mortgaged as heavily as they could be. He had 100 horses, and even they were mortgaged. It was a difficult time. That was in the late 1920s and the early 1930s.
Yes.
1933, I think, was the high point of the Depression, or the low point.
Yes, I think it was. The bank holiday was declared in somewhere around January 33, I think.
I couldn't remember
very
what year
first
it was.
Of the year of 1933, I believe.
Yes.
And I think it caught everyone unaware, but so many families have memories of that there were dark days, but
yes.
I think they brought families closer together, perhaps. And then there came World War II in Arista County. You were very active in many of the volunteer activities. World War
Yes. I can't remember what they called this service that we did down here.
Was it the Warning Center?
Yes, it was the Warning Center.
The Warning Center.
I served at the Warning Center at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
For several months, I guess. I was down there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I did work in Red Cross bandages. And
weren't you a gray lady?
Yes, yes, I was a gray lady.
Was established.
I still have my gray lady's uniform.
Yes. I think that I remember you were on the canteen. You were in the canteen group, I think. Weren't you at the end, perhaps near the end of the war, they used to bring the soldiers back that had been over there several years, and we used to go up to the base and
there was
and
a base
feed
hospital.
Yes, but also as they landed here waiting to go, they were so hungry for milk. They hadn't seen milk, some of them, for 4 or 5 years. And I, as I remembered it, I thought you were on some of those.
I don't remember that I was in the canteen service at all, but I was a gray lady for quite a while. Oh, it used to make my heart ache to see some of those boys the way they came back.
Yes.
Legs broken or legs gone and arms crippled. And oh, it was very, very sad.
Very depressing. You worked in the USO also, did you not, son, as hostess?
Yes, yes I did.
And did you meet any particularly interesting people there? Some people have.
I don't remember that I did.
Clark Gable was here, if you remember correctly.
I don't know what he was. I didn't see him, and I don't remember that I saw any particularly important people. Just missed out on that, I guess.
Well, it was, they were all important, and then it was their last,
yes,
last stop before the big jump.
That's right. And I remember how I used to go out the back door and see those planes go over, and I almost weep, because I thought, there are those boys going over there. Maybe they won't come back. And then my own nephew was drafted, and he was in Pennsylvania at the time, and I know I went out and saw him off on the train when he took the train to go to the port to go across. And I just thought, well, this is goodbye, and that's it. But he didn't get a scratch. And I know one time I wrote him and said, do you ever get very near the front lines? And he said, sometimes I'm ahead of them. I drive the Red Ball Express. So that was my nephew. And he told me at one time when he wrote about being in this German house, a beautiful German house that they were billeted in, he and some of the other boys in the army. He was in the infantry, and so he was right down to earth.
Right on the ground, right on the walking army, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, also during the war, there was a lot of activity here. Do you remember the I can't remember what command they called it, but the rescue command that flew from our base up to Gander and Greenland? They were the rescue people, weren't they, for the
aviation? I don't know, but there were. There was one, didn't they have one flight that they called the Snowball Express?
Yes, and
I remember seeing those. Those are the ones I referred to when I said I'd almost weep when I'd see those going over.
Then they had one of the officers wrote sort of a paper called the Flight of the Snow Goose while he was here. There was a snow goose, but there were older men who were simply stationed, radio men and flyers and so forth, to do the rescue of the planes that were down between here and Greenland or something. Well, this has been very pleasant, Mrs. Christie. Is there anything else that you could tell us? You have, from your wealth of knowledge, I know there are many things you are now.
But I try to think of things. Sometimes they don't appear.
you are now retired. You've had a very active and interesting life, having had your terms in the legislature, and made your own mark in state of Maine history. You are enjoying life, I'm sure, I can tell.
Oh, yes, I am. I still have some things to do. I am publicity chairman for my church, and also for the local and the Maine WCTU.
This is what we wanted to hear, what you're doing now, too.
Well, those are the outside activities.
Yes.
I'm a member of the Prudential Committee in my church, and as I say, publicity for the church and publicity for the WCTU on both the local and state level.
It's very interesting. Do you ever go down to Augusta? Do you ever visit?
Yes, I do. I haven't this winter, but usually I do sometime during the session. Sometimes I go down with Representative Ronald White.
Yes.
He asked me the other day if I were going down this year. I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do. But I did enjoy going down to visit after I was through myself. I didn't, the last time I ran for Senate, I was defeated. Perrin Edmonds, who was a senator and sat right beside me in the legislature, urged me to run again. I said, 6 terms is enough, I don't want any more. He said, oh, you run this time. Well, the Democrats took over everything that time. Even Perrin lost out. So that was the last of my activity in the legislature. While I was there, I was always a member of the Liquor Control Committee, and I hated it. But I thought there should be one dry on that committee, so I stayed there. In later years, when I was in the Senate, I was on the State Government Committee, and I really liked that. But
like all jobs, there are pleasant ones and some that aren't so pleasant.
But on the whole, I enjoyed the legislature very much.
Well, I'm sure that you certainly contribute a great deal to our legislative history, and it's been a pleasure talking with you, Mrs. Christie.